The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2010 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2010. If you have purchased this audio CD, you are free to make multiple copies of it for your own or your school's use. You may not sell copies of this audio or post it on the Internet. If you would like to find out more about the work of ACCS, please visit our website at www.accsedu.org. To order additional talks from this conference, please visit the ACCS website and click on Conferences. Thank you for your support of ACCS.
Good morning. I'm Colleen O'Brien, and I currently teach first grade at Cary Christian School. I team teach. I teach in the afternoon, and I teach the subjects math, science, history, and Shirley grammar. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay. The topic I'm speaking on today is integration. I'm going to attempt to explain why we should integrate our subjects and how to build upon a biblical principle. And then I'm going to give you some examples of what this looks like at the phonics level with K through 2, simple to create tools. Okay, first, if you would just go ahead and join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for hearts who are here to serve you, and I ask that you would bless all the children that come into our classrooms, Lord, for those that will come in the fall and into the future. And, Lord, I just ask that you would strengthen me to do your work now and help me, Lord, to share what I have been taught. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, before we get to number one on your outline, I have a definition from Webster's Dictionary for the word integrate. Integrate means to make into a whole by bringing all parts together to join with something else. And I like Webster's definition, but I'm going to give you a classical Christian definition in just a minute. Let's go ahead and move down to number one on your outline. Why integrate? Well, if you're integrating a concept with other subjects, you're likely to cover more material more efficiently. For those of us who are teachers here today, I know that we all use a variety of different curriculum and different materials, but regardless of the differences, our goals are the same. The materials that we use should simply aid us in meeting the objectives for the concepts that we want to impart on the students. We don't want to teach directly from a specific text. We want to use it rather as a guide or a means of integrating the subjects within the individual curriculums that we use. For example, I use Saxon 1 math as a tool to meet the objectives for the concepts that I want to impart in first grade. The actual integration we as teachers need to create, and that takes time. That's the hard part of our job. It can take years, and I by no means have it perfected. But I was fortunate enough to have a first grade teacher, Denise McIver from Logos, who was really helpful to me. She just sent me lots of materials that she had used in her first grade class. And even though we didn't teach the same units, I was able to look at the materials that she had used, and I was able to create my own materials for the topics and the units that I was teaching. So that was really helpful for me. For classical Christian, a definition for integration would look like this. It's a methodology used in understanding how everything is connected through Scripture as a means of teaching two or more subjects. And it's not surprising to see a relationship between several different subjects when you reference Scripture, because a biblical worldview naturally reveals a common thread tying all subjects together when we're looking for it. 2 Timothy 3:16 reminds us that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching. And Colossians 1:16 and 17 tell us, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together." So the word "all" here is including everything we teach, all subjects that we teach have been created by God. So two reasons that I want you to know why we integrate is first is that Scripture lays a foundation or a proper point of reference for the student. We want to show the origin of the subjects that we teach through Scripture. Second is that integrating the subjects is really the most effective way of teaching each subject as it relates to one another. So teaching subjects through Scripture gives students a proper point of reference, and it gives us ample opportunity to move the students from the known to the unknown, offering built-in review. Okay, but first, we need to create that proper point of reference for these young students, because you know we all know that their point of reference at this time is themselves. And they're going to grow up thinking that the world revolves around them if we don't instill a proper point of reference for them. So how do we do this? Well, the biblical reference I start with in first grade is Genesis. Genesis 1:1 is where I start, because it makes sense to start in the beginning where God created for the early grammar student. Okay, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created. Everything we teach in the early grammar stage, we can teach from Genesis. We want the students to understand the origin of the biblical truth or principle and how it relates to real life principles through the subjects that we teach. For the early grammar student, the concept, it can be somewhat abstract at first, but by laying that biblical foundation in the early grades gives us an opportunity to get the students thinking in terms of seeing the connection of how each subject is part of a whole as they grow through the grammar stage. The very young grammar student needs to be carefully guided as to where the concepts they're learning comes from. We also want the students to be able to recall the biblical truths or principles easily so that later we can build upon them. The origin of truth, the Bible, needs to be accessible, and they need to be able to find those references easily. Most likely at this age, they're doing it by memory, so we need to stay simple. Rather than pull verses from several parts of the Bible, and it's not that you can't, but you want to keep in mind what your goal is. And for these little students, the purpose to lay that foundation, we want to keep in mind what our purpose is, and that is to lay a foundation for what they're studying, knowing the subject's origin at this pre-poly stage. Okay, we are shaping how students think. They might be able to tell us a Bible story or a common Sunday school lesson, but they cannot tell us the necessity of learning to read or where math came from. And they can't tell you the importance of knowing these subjects in order to know the fullness of God's character. So we want to be very careful that while we're teaching our subjects, we don't take Scripture out of context just to match a word to what we're studying. Hey, for example, if you're studying weather in a science unit, you don't want to just find Scripture to match the word wind to teach one of the three important aspects of weather. We want the students to understand that wind is part of a whole in what God created. So if you're teaching the three important aspects of weather, sun, wind, and rain, we want to also be able to show the relation, if you're studying the weather in science, the relation to the water cycle, which is made up of the same elements. The life cycle of a plant is dependent on the same elements, and consequently all of those aspects of weather are needed to sustain life. And ultimately, we can see how God provides for us, his most beloved creation. So at Cary Christian School, the students memorize through song the scripture, Matthew 8:25, in studying the life of Jesus. And just as an example, this verse says, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. But I want to make it clear that we're not teaching about weather with this verse because it has the word wind in it. But rather, we might talk about God's omnipotence, that he controls the elements. But to teach the concept of wind, we would want to create a proper point of reference of where wind originated and how it fits into a whole. You want to be careful not to overload the young students with so much scripture that they're unable to memorize or recall why God gave us weather and how it's part of an order or a pattern that works perfectly, or they're not going to see the connection to the other subjects and how they're related. It's really important to know that we as educators begin laying the foundation and fostering a framework for the students to see beyond themselves that ultimately directs them towards a relationship with Christ. 2 Timothy 3:15 reminds us that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Okay, this is the big picture. This is the goal that we're seeking as the end product of classical Christian education through integration of Scripture in teaching our subjects as they relate to one another. For K through 2, we need to show them that everything's connected and that we cannot isolate one subject from another. We need to understand our subjects, and we need to strive to teach all subjects in light of God's existence. So, what does God give us as it relates to the subjects? Okay, where do these subjects originate and why are they important? Well, let's look at how each subject that we might commonly teach is connected through Genesis as an example of how to apply the methodology of integration. Okay, on your outline, I listed the subjects that I teach in the order that I introduce them in the beginning of the year, and it's just an example to set the stage for how you might integrate the subjects that you teach with a biblical worldview. I also want to show how one subject can lead to another so that you can see the connection of how the subjects you teach are grounded in what God gave us. Okay. I will also go ahead and touch on some concepts that I integrate subject to subject. And I'm going to have more examples of that later that I'll show you with some easy-to-create simple tools. Okay, so reading. Just like 2 Timothy 3:15 tells us that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, first we need to teach children how to read in order to understand the writings. God gives us his written word with the Bible, and reading is fundamental. It's the single most central tool that we teach students in order to know God's character, because God chose to communicate to us through his written word. This makes learning to read an essential tool in the learning process itself. There is an order to the written word. There are phonics rules or patterns to follow in learning to read. I have a quote from Mary Beretta Lorton, author of Math Her Way, and that was passed on to me by Denise McIver, and I loved getting this when I first started teaching. It really helped me to see the importance of patterning. She said, "Looking for pattern trains the mind to search out and discover the similarities that bind seemingly unrelated information together in a whole. A child who does not see pattern often does not expect things to make sense and sees all events as discrete, separate, and unrelated." Okay, when we teach students to read, we teach them to start at the beginning. There's an order. The students need to move from left to right to decipher letters that make words, and they learn sounds that are in the initial, medial, and final position when reading words. Young students are learning an order, a pattern that fits into a whole when they're learning to read the written word or learning to spell. In teaching the young students to read, we simultaneously are preparing them to learn other subjects. And I chose history next because I start the unit off with a history unit. And since the early grammar students' point of reference is themselves, I really love that we start the year off with a history unit on North Carolina, the state in which we live. But we can go first to the written word, the first book of the Bible, Genesis. It's where we start at the beginning, just like we would read any book, Genesis 1:1. The students can recite and memorize that verse easily. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now this gives me an opportunity to ask guided questions. Remember, the students are young and their point of reference is limited, so we need to guide them. And I think it's okay at this age, in the beginning of the year, to expect one right answer for these very young students. You may get several answers, but I encourage one right answer by guiding and directing and reviewing often. And I have a purpose in this. Expecting one right answer helps the students to see a pattern for a biblical worldview later in science and then later in math. Let me give you an example of how I would use Genesis 1:1 to introduce history of where we live and how the students fit in. The students would first recite, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then I can ask, "Okay, what did God create?" And I stress guiding them to one right answer, so it's pretty easy for them to tell me either heavens or earth. But I'm looking for earth to lead into my history unit. So if I get the answer heaven, I'm going to acknowledge that, you know, that's true, but what else did God create? We do need to be flexible, but we need to keep it simple and to the point so that we can guide them from the known to the unknown as it relates to your subjects before you lose them. Then we can guide them just a little more by leading them with more questions. Like, do you think you were here yet? And, you know, I always get a lot of yeses because, you know, there they are. That's their point of reference. We need to create that point of reference for these students with questions that can stimulate and get them involved. So then I can move the students to Genesis 1:27 by reading the verse, "And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them." And if we give them opportunity to think by guiding them through the order of the scripture references, we can ask, "So what came first, planet Earth or man?" And as we go through the school year, we can culminate with a better understanding of the specific order that God created through the subjects. You know, we don't really need to get all crazy, though, about the order that we teach our subjects to match God's perfect order in creation. We do need to allow ourselves to be flexible and creative with the subjects that we're teaching. But here in my history unit, the students find out that planet Earth was created first before they were created. The students are now learning where they came from and how they fit in. The students' point of reference is now shifting to God's Word, the Bible, or the book of Genesis, where God created. So now we can take the students to where they've been physically placed, which is our history unit, and we emphasize town, county, and state. We start the unit off with the known, a review from kindergarten with the town our school is in, and then we branch out to the unknown county, and from there we put the students on the map in the state of North Carolina. Now they're ready to explore the world around them. So this would lead into my science unit, and I would be teaching the solar system in the beginning of the year. In science, we want the students to recognize that God is the creator of the universe and everything in it, visible and invisible. Colossians 1:16. So I can review by asking, how does God communicate with us? And now with training, the students know that I'm expecting one right answer so they can tell me through his written word. We want the students to be thinking and as interactive as possible by reviewing and allowing several students to give quick, short answers. The goal is to keep it, you know, quick and interactive so that they're all involved. But if you allow one student, you know, to tell you everything they know, which they will do, you know, you're going to lose the others. So we need to be carefully guiding these students. So I can quickly review now by having them recite Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And then I can ask, "So what did God create?" And through previously guided questions, they can tell me earth. This is the known for them now. They can tell me that they or man were created after planet Earth, and some of them now can give me a scripture reference. They can tell me it's Genesis 1:27. It's been easy for them to find. We can quickly review town, county, and state before we move them to the unknown of what's around them. But by staying in one book of the Bible, we allow the students to be successful not only in understanding the origin of the subjects, but they can also start memorizing the order of creation because it starts to make sense to them. If you're pulling scripture from several parts of the Bible, and again, not that that's wrong, but it's harder for the students to make that connection or to recall those references easily at this age. So now, though, in science, we can go back to Genesis 1:1 and move them to the unknown by reviewing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we can ask, what else did God create? God's word tells us that in addition to earth, he created the heavens. So can you see that I'm now trying to purposely set the students up to see a pattern through the subjects and where they fit in? We want to imbue the students with a foundational truth that is tangible. We want them to know that the Bible and Genesis go hand in hand, and they're part of that history. One concept in the solar system that we learned is order. There's an order to the planets in relation to the sun, and subject to subject, this would be just integrating the subjects. Ordinal position would also be a math concept that I would teach through that science lesson. I would also go ahead and show them a pattern of how planet Earth rotates to get daytime and nighttime. And then through Genesis 1:5, and God called the light day and the darkness night, and there was evening and there was morning one day. I will introduce telling time. Time to the hour and half past are simple math concepts that I can teach now through the solar system rather than several lessons later when Saxon might introduce it. This is how we can integrate to show how these concepts are related and when you're teaching them together. Okay, I would go ahead and I would use a globe to show how planet Earth rotates. When God set planet Earth in motion, we get daytime and nighttime. This is an unchanging pattern. I would teach revolution and how planet Earth revolves around the sun to give us our seasons. This is another unchanging pattern. It's regular, it's precise, it's predictable. It's patterns. We can build on the order and patterns that are unchanging now as we move into math. Okay, math is more abstract for the students in teaching a biblical worldview, and I think that we tend to shy away because we really think that they're too young and they're not going to understand, but they are capable of understanding if we set them up through patterns. We can begin to show the students now that math records the order of real life principles, like teaching time through Genesis 1:5. We can communicate an order and a structure through constant patterning of God's creation in other subjects as we introduce math concepts. Okay, so what is math? All math is a way of recording and expressing the laws and relationships God first created. Colossians 1:16, for by him all things were created. In math, the students are learning to see a pattern through numbers. We teach the children to count by ones, twos, fives, tens, by recognizing patterns. You know, one always follows zero, two always follows one, three always follows two, etc. And the principles of addition and subtraction, we can show the children these are God-created principles of recording God's order in the world around us. We can teach the students now to add. We can teach them to add in a regular, precise manner. You know, when we're adding, there's only one right answer. Like 2 + 2 is always going to equal 4. It never changes. And when we're doing our math facts, I'll always stress to the students, there's only one right answer because they're real competitive and they'll start shouting out, you know, 10 different numbers for one fact. And I'm constantly reminding them, math is part of God's perfect order. So there's only one right answer. But anyway, we want the students to know that man has developed ways to represent God-created principles with symbols or numbers. But God himself is the creator. God's faithfulness in sustaining these principles is being revealed through math. I have some verses that attest to this. I'm not going to read them for the sake of time, but I'm going to go ahead and give them to you. Genesis 8:22, Jeremiah 33:20-25, and Psalm 74:17. Okay, in teaching math, we can again take the students now back to creation, Genesis 1:1. And by this time, I just have to say the word "in," and I could prompt the students to stand, and they'll recite instantly, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And they can also now tell me a pattern or an order from history or science, because we've been reviewing it often. A student might respond that when God set planet Earth in motion, rotation, we get daytime and nighttime. Or they might tell me that daytime always follows nighttime, nighttime always follows daytime, because that's what we've been reviewing. So God's perfect order has been established now through the seasons, the water cycle, the life cycle of a plant, and even the life cycle of a frog. These are subjects that I use to build a biblical worldview with. They're consistent, they're predictable, they're unchanging patterns. Okay, so here's our order or pattern set before us from the beginning. I want the students to know that numbers are symbols that represent God's perfect order. So subject to subject now, if we were reviewing counting by twos, I'm also going to integrate odd and even, recognizing odd and even numbers. And I would also teach pairs and adding two to a number, which are part of our timed math facts. These are separate concepts that would be taught in the material that I use, but I would integrate them and teach these concepts together because it makes sense. And I want the students to see the connection rather than to view them discreetly. So, the relationship of integration of these subjects. Hopefully, I've given you some examples with the subjects that I teach for you to see the underlying biblical worldview and the subjects that you teach and how your subjects might relate to one another. Understanding the patterns at this age helps the students to show the order in God's creation, where subjects come from, and why they're important. Well, I'm going to go down to applying the tools and integrating subjects to your lesson. First, you have to remember your audience. Okay, remember that they're young, and we want to teach simply. We want to allow the students to be actively involved as much as possible in the lessons, and we need to guide them carefully so that we can review often with them, and then we can easily move them from the known to the unknown. And then teaching creatively, I just want to stress, you do not have to be an art major to make fun, interactive, creative tools to teach your subjects. I use maps and globes, Judy clocks, things that you can easily get at teacher supply stores. And then I also want to go ahead and show you some of the other tools that I've used. I'm going to go ahead and show you. I don't know if all of you can see, and if you can't, you can come up later. But how many of you are familiar with Saxon 1, or just Saxon itself, the younger sheets, the grammar sheets? Okay. I was hoping that a lot of you would be familiar with that, and if you're not, I'm sure the curriculum you use is similar. But for Saxon 1, we start off the unit with the solar system. So I would go ahead and start measuring with non-standard units in the beginning when I'm doing that solar system unit. And I just had created my own materials, and it's rockets that they would measure non-standard units. They would use linking cubes. So it's just a fun way to integrate using non-standard units of measure into a lesson before it would show up in your curriculum. And then because they're measuring and writing on Saxon, they're using a ruler to draw to draw a line for their name. They have that ruler in front of them already, so we're going to go ahead and recognize inch and centimeters. For inches, the numbers are farther apart on the number line. In centimeters, the numbers are closer together on the number line. And we'll go ahead and start measuring with inches and centimeters with some things that we're learning about already. Date and day of the week, we're going to go ahead and use a lot of calendar work. So I'm going to break down this section worksheet so that I'm not bound to the curriculum itself. I want to integrate with some of the subjects that I've been teaching. And I'm going to go ahead and break that down and do a lot of calendar work before we put our month, date, and year on that paper. For number one and Saxon, for those of you who are familiar, it has practice writing the numbers that are in consecutive order on the sheets that you use. And I'm going to go ahead and work on left and right because that's a concept that's taught in Saxon math. And then I'm also going to work on, as soon as we get to a double-digit number, the number 10, we're going to work on place value. So I would have the students list the number in the ones place. They would put a 1 over it. The number in the tens place, they'd put a 10 over it. And then we'll go ahead and recognize, is that an odd number or an even number? So we can do all of that just with that top section there. Sometimes I'll have the students, once they trace and write that number, when we're learning pairs, I'll have them circle the pairs, and they can tell me that a pair is two of something, and that two numbers in the specific order, 8 and 1, are going to make a pair that makes up the number 81. So then they'll circle the pairs, and they're working on another concept that they've learned. Down for number 2, on Saxon, it has a lot of word problems. I might use something that I've taught in the solar system. We have the planets in order from the sun. And this is just something that's really easy to create. I've just taken, from a coloring book or something. It's old. And I've just blown these planets up and laminated them and then put strings around them. So if I was going to do a number sentence, sum someone away, a subtraction problem, I might have the students come up and put themselves in order from the sun with the 9 planets around their neck. And then I might say the 2 on the end are to go ahead and sit down, or I would take 2 planets away and then have them tell me what just happened. We had some, 9, and then some went away, 2. So we would have reviewed the orders, the order of the planets from the sun, and then we'll go ahead and use that and go into some of our math concepts. You can also, once they're all lined up, you can work on, look at the 5th planet in relation to the sun, and then how many planets are to the left of Jupiter. I'm holding up Jupiter. How many planets are to the right of Jupiter? Another math concept in Saxon. So you can just go ahead and integrate that in a lot of fun, easy ways where the students are really interactive. On my sheet, I have some more example using penguins. And polar regions is another biome. It's a biome that we do in first grade, and we learn about an animal. So I would do maybe a really quick review if I was in that unit at this time, and I would have the students show me north, and then they would tell me North Pole, Arctic, polar bear, and then south, South Pole, Antarctica, and penguins. And then I would maybe use this as a quick manipulative on a whiteboard. I have magnets on everything, too, because I'm lucky to have a whiteboard that I can use with the magnets and fun tools. So this would be a some more sentence, and I would use penguins, and I would just get that quick review in of things that I want them to remember from the polar regions. I'm also going to go ahead and try to use fact concepts are a set of facts that we're working on for our time test. So for my penguins up here, I used an example of 4 plus 3, which would be a doubles plus 1 fact. And then that would be the same set of facts that I would be doing for our time test, so they can get that extra review in. For number 3, This is not the best example, but I'm going to draw attention to a suffix ending, and the students would be able to see that there's a suffix S, and that suffix S means plural, that's more than one, so that they would know that they need to look for more than one when they're, you know, finding something in a group. This is not the best example up here. I know you can't even see it from where you are, but a lot of times in the SACs and the younger curriculums, they'll have shapes that the students need to look for, and it might say color one, or color the triangle red, color the circles blue. And they need to know then that they're looking for more than one, because they see the suffix S and it's plural, means more than one. So that would be the connection of integrating the sex and phonics with something in math. For time, I have my planet Earth up here just to show you. It's the same set of planets that I would use that have strings around them. But I'm going to go ahead and remind the students where time came from and the practical uses of how that principle is used in our life today, with telling time to the hour and half past that we learn in our solar system. And then down on number six, this is adding 10 to a number. And I have examples of cards that I've just really easy, just wrote the numbers 1 through 100 on. And you can do all kinds of things with these little cards. You can do one more, one less. The students can take cards and we can put themselves in order from least to greatest, all math concepts. We can also add 10 to a number like it is on this sheet. I would have the students in around the world order draw attention to the number that's in the tens place, and then they would look at the number I'm showing them, and in around the world order, each student would give me adding 10 to a number, the number that's 10 more. The number in the tens place goes up by one. So I would go ahead and do that in around the world order. Just really easy tools to use. Let's see. I can't see it either. we also do, after the students do a history unit on where they live, we go into an early colonization unit. And I've just taken facts of seven, and I've just made a sheet that has little beans that I've traced, just little lima beans that I've traced, and I'll color one half of the beads, just spray paint them, and they would get seven in a cup if they were doing facts of seven, whatever that fact family is that we're working on. And they would have that too. They would shake it in a little cup, and then they would spill it out, and then they would go ahead and do this worksheet with facts of seven. They know that they were going to separate the colored side from the white side, and they're going to write a number sentence, and then they're going to color the number on the left, the little Indians up here, little Indian beads, to match their number sentence. So just a fun way to integrate the history unit with some math facts. And then sticking with the same theme, we would do Shirley Grammar. And for Shirley Grammar, I would have little cards that I would just write simple, nouns and verbs and adjectives and adverbs on. And then I would try to stick with the theme of that subject that I'm teaching. So sticking with the early colonization unit here, we would sing first a song about the three ships that came across the Atlantic, and then I would go ahead in around the world order. I would ask each child a question like, what month from the song that they sang did the ship sail? What date did the ship sail? What year did the ship sail? Math concepts that we've worked on also. And then we go into some history, name the ships, where did the ships come from? So a little bit of history that we're learning there to remind them of that order in history. And then we'd go ahead and the students would read the card that they have on their desk, and they would place it on the magnetic whiteboard, and then we'll go ahead and classify using the Shirley Grammar method of classification. So anyway, those are some tools that I have, and I know that you can't see those very well from where you are, so I'm going to let you come up later. You can come up if you have time and just look at those a little bit more closely. Okay. I think we still have time. Let me go back to the end of your outline there. So in summary, you want to find and use biblical principles that you can refer to for all subjects that you teach. The subjects really are already integrated if you're looking for how those subjects you teach are grounded in a biblical truth. The more you expose the students and review with the students a solid biblical truth of where those subjects originated and where all things come from, the better chance they have in gaining perspective or proper point of reference that they can memorize. And then I've listed some things that you don't want to do. We don't want to overwhelm the students with so much information at this age. We know that they can recite well, and we know that they can memorize well, but our goal isn't to see how much they can memorize, but rather to use memorization as a tool to learning specific subjects in your lesson. And we also want to be careful that we're not using scripture for scripture's sake, just to match something that we're doing in our lesson. We want to be careful of what our purpose and our long-term goal is. And keep in mind that the students are at the grammar level and that we're laying a foundation for them to move up to the logic stage. So we don't want to take scripture out of context. We want God's word to be studied in context, and be careful not to isolate scripture verses just to fit a lesson of the day and taking it out of context. Don't let the lessons become too long. If you're in the pre-poly stage, like I am teaching first grade, you want to keep that lessons moving, keep them quick, keep it simple, allowing the students to be as interactive as possible. So those short, quick answers give everybody a chance to answer when you're at that level, that you can just go around in like an around-the-world order, and everybody gets a chance to answer a question and be part of that lesson. And then I have don't let anyone dictate how we teach, and I think I put that down there a while ago when I was doing this outline, because oftentimes we'll have parents come in and they'll look at a Saxon lesson and they'll say, oh, that's so easy. And I really encourage you to, try to help your parents to understand everything that we're doing, teaching that biblical worldview and how we're integrating these subjects. And we really want to build and solidify those concepts so that we're laying the basic foundation first for them to move into more complex concepts. So we just want to remember that the focus or the big picture for classical Christian education, what that is, and to remember that we want to create a desire to have a personal and lifelong relationship with our Creator. Okay, I think I have just a couple minutes. Well, I think we have about 15 minutes. Does anybody have any questions? Or does anybody have something that they'd like to share, tools that they've used, or ways that you've integrated a biblical worldview into some of your lessons? I would love to hear some of the things that you've done. Okay, you have a couple of things there. So let me first answer, I think, your first question of the incremental, the way Saxon has their concepts incrementally. And I think that we do that. I am going incrementally here, but I'm starting just a little bit earlier. So non-standard units of measure, they might not get to till I don't know when that lesson is, but it's something that they're very capable of doing. So I want to review that history or the science with them. It may be history, but I have science up here. And this is easy. I don't feel like I'm recreating. I still use the sheet. I don't use this big sheet, but the students still have the sheet put in front of them. So the examples that I'm giving you up here with the tools, and I'm hoping that you'll see that these tools are really easy to create. I've just copied these out of coloring books. I've colored them, laminated them, and put magnets on the back of them. So this is the lesson that I will do first. Like, we might start before we move into number two, we would go ahead and play with our tools first, either on the board, and then do a just simple, quick review of the polar regions up here, or simple, quick review with the planets and give them example of what we're going to do with the Saxon lesson here. And what I'll do with that Saxon lesson, though, my picture does not match the word story here, but what I'll do with those tools is I will match the concept that's being taught. This one here is a Some Someone Away story. I know you can't see it from there, but it's a Some Someone Away. And we will do Some Someone Away first a couple of times with the props, so that it's fun for the students. Then my measure is that they go back to their desk, put their finger on number two, and then I will read the problem for them, and they will echo. And then I have circled the number words, because that would also be part of their spelling, and it helps them to see what numbers they're working with. And then I'll walk around, and they'll actually do the problem that's on the Saxon sheet. So I'll take that Saxon sheet. They will not go home with homework because I've done that with them. But my measure, did they understand it, is what they did on that Saxon sheet, because we've already done it as an example in class. But it keeps them involved, and it keeps them interactive for the grade, for first grade or for that K through two. It keeps them involved in a fun way. And then instead of sending them home with homework, my measure is just what they did on this side. Does that make sense? And then they're tested, you know, after every four lessons. I use the regular Saxon test, and they're tested, so I also get to see, you know, whether those concepts were solidified on the test. I don't know if I answered all your questions. Okay. I don't. After I take it from them from doing this side, I look at it. I get to see who did what. And then these concepts, if we've taught them ahead of time because we've integrated them with other subjects, they become a natural review on the Saxon sheet. So I might teach reading a thermometer to the nearest 10 with a weather unit, but that doesn't show up until the very end of the Saxon sheet. It's a super easy, simple thing for the students to do, but when it comes up on the Saxon sheet, it becomes a review for them. So they're getting, to me, extra review. And I don't feel, this does take time to start making some of these things, but I'm trying to show you that some of these things are really easy, and if you just build upon it, they're really easy to just pull and use really quickly in your classroom. I don't use this big sheet. I just have a little sheet in front of me, and I mark all my sheets are marked up. and I will change them up a little bit, but I'm pretty much in the same place with a history unit or a science unit that I am starting from Saxon, the first sheet of Saxon, all the way through to the end of the year. So I'll just kind of write on the side what tools I'm going to pull. I just keep all my little things in baggies, and they're behind my desk, and I can just reach and grab them as I decide to use them. But I have it written on the side what tools I'm going to use and pull, and go ahead and use those. So I don't guide them with this, because I want them to look, go back to their desks, put their finger, and then go through that themselves. So a little bit more independent for them when they go back to their desk. If they're not getting it, I'm walking around, and I can correct them then. And if I miss, I've got that measure, so the next day I can go ahead and do that as a review, which it usually comes up, you know, soon in a Saxon sheet repetitively.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the other thing that we've done is, you know, as they, after halfway through the year after Christmas, sometimes will work because they've become readers. They'll have the option to do the flip side, as I say, a second grader reading and doing a little more independently on their own, because we've already done the first side, and the second side reflects the first side. So they really do like to be able to do that on their own, and it causes them to pay more attention. They're actually reading and finding the numbers because it's different, same concept, but different numbers that they're doing on the side B. Yes? Math, a full hour. Full hour, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Math facts, and we do a lot of drill and review in the class, but it really helps and makes a difference that they're working on those math facts at home, because then we're doing the 1 minute time test. They'll do 20 problems just for a set of facts that they're working on. So I have an example of doubles plus one, but we'll start off with adding zero to a number to teach them how to take that time test. So it's real simple. And as, you know, they become more proficient in writing those numbers, moving left to right, we go ahead and just work on a set. So the set that we're working on is the set that they'll be timed on for that week or 2 weeks if we need to take. Okay, well, if we don't have any more questions, I'm going to go ahead and close. And just thank you for coming, and if you'd like to come up and just look a little bit more closely at some of the things that I have, I don't have a whole lot with me, but if you want to come up and just look at some of the things that I have up here, feel free.